Welcome to Witness Rugby Chat, episode 12 of 2025 with myself, James Gordon and Mike Parsons. We've got plenty to go through in this week's podcast. A new signing for Widnes, a controversial departure, some injury updates, a few questions to answer that we've had sent through, the launch of Widnes Rugby Plus, the usual predictions from myself and Mike. But first, we'll go into the usual post-match interview with Alan Coleman. It's a 10-minute or so listen, this one. I just wanted to introduce it this week because, of course, some of the stuff in it will now be out of date with regards to players and injuries. So I just wanted to put that caveat in before you get into it. But here's what Alan Coleman had to say in the immediate aftermath of the defeat to York at the weekend.
Alan Coleman, defeat at York in the league, but in comparison to the game in the 895 Cup at the start of the month, it was a much closer contest, even though maybe the score didn't reflect perhaps how close it was.
Yeah, really proud of them, James. We focused on our start this week and I thought we started really well. I thought we matched them set for set. We make a big call on tackle three, we try to kick something and it's not really on and we could stay on that ground with them, and I think we're just gaining our heads in front. But yeah, our energy was much better today. We defended much better. They're a good team. I'm not going to say this and that. We weren't there. They're a good team. They won't lose many games here. But I was just really pleased with how last week we stuck in grind and could have nicked something. And this week, if things go your way, there's a massive call with a head contact with Mike Butt from Atta and Garner. Mm-hmm. There's no arms around. It's clear shoulder charge to the head. He certainly missed the semi-final, that's for sure. And that's them's the calls you need. And then we get put on a team warning for holding down. And it's like, it's just little things where I've just said in there, you keep focusing on your efforts and then little things will start turning for us. And they will. I can't thank them enough. I thought they dug in today, really dug in. And especially when we lose Kirky, can't bring him back out. He's really poorly in there. And it takes a big man put your hand up and say, I don't want to go back out there, because, you know, he wanted to be with lads, but unfortunately he was sick. So, yeah. From 1 to 17 though today, they've given me everything they had, I think.
Was it just a case of York were a bit more clinical with the ball? You sense that when they got their chances that they would always find a way to score when they got up there, obviously kept them out a few times, but was that the main real difference?
The difference was that they play on back of wins, so for example, everything's really quick, and if you notice their tries, they come off anything quick or an offload. So the first try was an offload, we wrap him up, but unfortunately he goes through, we're planted, so any offloads we can't push off, and Harris, being Harris, can score plenty of points. And then second, and everything's too quick. McShane's jumping and punching and punching and punching, and it's just far too quick. And they're very, very good at that. But they're very powerful. They've got a high class caliber of forwards at this club who's played at top levels, and you could see today they're just a yard quicker and a yard bigger than us. So I think the difference was the speed of and the power of their middles. I thought we defended well, like I said, but obviously at times the last 15 minutes, when you can see we started winning some rucks. We're getting some joy with Gilly and Edgy on that edge and Josh Hodgson, because we're playing on wins. But at the minute, we can't just see play on wins. And then once we do, till Clayton will start putting teams away. But unfortunately, we're just not quite getting them wins.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you got back within 10 and they had the Simbin, they did look vulnerable for a little spell. You just couldn't perhaps get, if you'd have got an extra try, you could almost see it happen. If you got one try, you probably would have got the second.
Yeah, I just said to staff and touchline then, I said, we can get one here with 5-6 minutes to go. I think they'll go and I think they'll panic. We just fall in the trap of just trying to score, though, instead of being smart. Like, McShane comes, defends on this left edge, so they leave a middle. So the message almost just, let's go through middle. Because there's a number down, but just because the back row's come off, they put a number in the back row, so there's a number in the middle. So just try to plow holes in it, and then once they start coming in, we can play, but we're just going sideways basically. But like I said, we didn't lose through lack of effort. We just lost through, like I said, I think best team, I'm being honest.
You obviously, with your personnel, had to make some changes. You went for Joe Edge at fullback today. How did you think he went?
I thought it was all right. He's good, Joe. He's strong. He's quick. We just didn't have enough chances for him. So, like I said, in the first half, we tend to try to set a play up to play. And the message was, let's play for play. Let's challenge them. You know, Harris, as good as he is, and Ngannou, as good as they are, they make rash decisions when they're defending. You know, and then we do put some shape on, and Jack Owen's hands their quality for butting, a great finish, and same in this corner. So, there's no panic stations from us. I just feel as though we need to be take some strength from what we can do physicality wise, what we've done today, but let's be a little bit better with the ball in hand.
Matty Fozard seemed to be struggling at times. Obviously it's a tough gig for him at the moment, having to basically play hooker on his own every week. But Jack Owens actually seemed to do all right when he dropped in there. Was Foz all right, or was it tight?
Well, it's looking like he broke his hand. Right. So that's another number. I think we've got 17 fit players at the minute with nothing coming in. So we're doing it tough, but we're not going to moan. We're just going to get on with it and keep working that. You know, you just take a leaf out of Salford's book. Yeah. They just keep fighting and having that mentality. So Foz doesn't look great.
Did he play on with that? Because it looked like he'd done something early in the match. Has he carried on playing
no,
with that?
No, well, the message to us was he's fine. But then when he was coming off, the message was, I've messed my hand up. So he never gives a signal of that. But I thought, you know, once... If we got JJ back with Foz, we're a different team completely, just because you can see, you know, JJ and Foz share that 80 minutes between them. You've got constant threat, constant work rate. At the minute, Foz is working his hardest, and it's tough to play long minutes, especially against teams where the game rolled now and again. But I thought Jack Owens really lifted us a little bit when he went there, you know, the speed, the jumping out, and that's what two nines brings. So, yeah, I thought Jack was good, gutted with Foz.
In terms, you know, Reece Williams was on the bench. It was in an ideal world, you wouldn't carry a winger on the bench, but was that a case of needs? Must I think this was his 319th match. It's only the second time he's ever come on as a sub in his whole career.
Yeah, well, I spoke to him in week, and obviously he's been away for a couple of weeks, but he's been great. Inch has been great. So I just said, listen, there's an opportunity because I see we've no nine at the minute. So Jack's willing to go there, so it makes sense that Butty would drop it centre and there'll come an opportunity. And he was like, yeah, I'm fine, I'll play wherever you need me. So that was the reasoning behind it, just because if we'd have gone four, we had Brett as well, Bailey, but if we'd gone four middles, you can't really change any of your back lines. So that was the thinking behind that.
JJ, you named him in the squad, but I know he's still a few weeks off at least. When realistically do you think you'll be able to get Johnson back in the team?
It'll be next week, don't you? It'll have to be next week. No, it was always next week.
Right.
You know, but we wanted to put him in squad just because we did just want to name 18 instead of a 21. I could have named a couple of us, but I'm not into that, because I'm not into people questioning why is he not playing and why is he not playing. Basically, we named JJ just for giving that boost and let fans know he's ready, he's coming back. So he'll definitely play next week, 100%. Fingers crossed, Fozzie's all right, but it doesn't look right.
Is there a fear with Johnson, the way that he plays the game, you've got to be careful not to rush him back? Because, you know, I'd imagine from minute one next week, he's going to be trying to put a shot on someone. You don't want him to aggravate his injury again.
He'd have loved that game, 100% he would. Them's the games he loves. No, he'll be smart. He'll ease him into it. We've got to bring him off bench, we'll probably start. No, he's chomping. You know what he's like. He's chomping at bit, and if he weren't ready, he'd put his hand up this week. He said, I'll play if you need me. But, you know, we've always said Unslip. Our time scale with our medical staff, we've always said Unslip, so we're not changing that.
Matt Fleming?
Fingers crossed next week, hoping. You know, he's doing some running. Just, it's one of them where we did it last year, he was out for 4 or 5 weeks. So fingers crossed he can open up a bit this week and get some running done.
And we've not seen Ryan Lannan for a few weeks. What's the situation there?
You tell me. No, I've not seen Ryan either. So the situation is Ryan's been unable to play because Ryan's not been training. So
the Warrington situation as well, feels like there's just negative questions all the time for you all about this. But obviously the Warrington situation seems weird, because you seem to get 3 or 4 players one week and then none the following week and then 3 or 4 the week after that. It must be difficult for you to figure out how you're going to play.
Yeah, I have a really good relationship with Gary Chambers. Gary works his socks off for me, but when all of a sudden, it's not Gary's call, is it? You know, he's my link to Warrington, and this week we got told that there's nobody available. And then obviously they've had a tough gig at Saints, great win for them, but they picked quite a few injuries up. I know there's a reserve game this week for them, so you know they're obviously going to look after themselves. Joe Reg works if you're desperate for bodies, in my eyes, or this is a quality player, what improves your team. But at the minute, we're desperate for bodies, and they're desperate for bodies, so you know, we just got to focus on us and try to get 21 man squad of us fit, healthy. I'm hoping, like I said, if JJ and Flem come back, and then hopefully a couple more in, you know, still hoping, but once we can get to 21, 22, when everyone's fit, I'll be happy with my squad. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And we're still, I think if we win our game in hand, we're still in playoffs, so it's not end of world, is it?
You've been saying for quite a few weeks you need more bodies and signings, and obviously, you know, I know things can and can't happen with certain things, but realistically, when are you going to see some, or are you going to see any movement? Obviously, fans are asking you, let players
go.
Yeah,
we're speaking to two players. We've offered something to two players. We're hoping they're going to accept. You know, it's looking like they are going to do. And then it's just a case of dotting the I's, crossing the T's, and everything else falls into place. And in my eyes, the quality addition is worth waiting for, which will bring a real competition for places within the team. Get JJ back, if Fozzie's back, and then Flem back, that's five into that team. You know, you've got Lewis Hall to come back, you've Deck Patton to come out, that's seven into that team. So yeah, it's, you know, might be a while, but once all them sevens in, you've got that 17 there, you've got a real healthy squad.
And your position's still the same when we've talked before. You're not, it's not,
oh, Max
case,
Roberts.
Yeah, Max
so Roberts.
You don't want to sign players just for a couple of months. You're looking at players you want to be here this season and next season.
Oh yeah, these who we sign, mate, they're here for this year and next. End of. You know, we're not offering anyone a short term contract. This doesn't work for me. I've just signed my deal. You know. Not once since I've signed it, but yeah, I've got a vision for this club. There's a persona at this club. It's a massive club. It's not. It's an hard-working club, a championship club, and we've got a budget for a championship club. We're coming against some teams who are very, very, I'll say, very lucky to have quite some wealthy owners who's willing to spend quite a lot, because there's at least five teams in this comp spending double what we are. So we're not worried about them. We're worried about ourselves. And for be worried about ourselves, we've got to get our team right first. And like I said, it might take 2 weeks, it might take 4 weeks, it might take 6 weeks before we can gather that calibre of players all chomping at the bit, giving me a massive headache. And when it does, I really do believe that, you know, we'll take some beating because we'll have a right squad on our hands.
This was the first game of a run of five where you've got one home game, four away games. You mentioned there about getting the squad right. Is it important to get that squad right for that run of three home games you've got in June time?
I think it's vastly important we win at weekend. We take our game in hand, basically all our classes, our game in hand on some, and we get in the playoff. We get in that six. And once we're in that six, then we've got Featherstone at home, which will be a massive game. Because where they are in the league is a false position, because they've had it tough as well. And that you look at their players they've got, they're a good team. But I just think Widnes play better against good teams. They tend to, especially at home. When big clubs come, they come and we just lift our crowd. I thought our fans were brilliant today, by the way. But yeah, we get excited. And I know you've got to be excited, but we speak about how tough the Championship is. So now you've got to be up for every game. So you've got to think you're playing Featherstone and York every week. So yeah, let's get this one out well. Let's get it won. Get 2 points in bag. And then let's get some more bodies in as well, hopefully.
Mike, I don't want to dwell on the York game too much. Widnes going down to a, what was it, 26-12 defeat. There was maybe a brief chance of a fight back late on when York had a man sin-binned. Jack Owens went into hooker, looked actually a bit lively after the injury to Matty Fozzard, and Widnes did get the try back from Ryan Ince and maybe asked a couple of questions, but couldn't. I think if Widnes had got another try, maybe York might have wobbled a little bit. Before I ask for your thoughts, I just give my very quick conclusions, if you like. Again, Widnes, it was another struggle in terms of an attacking performance. But I actually thought, I saw a lot of criticism, but I saw a lot of negative comments after the game. But I actually don't think Widnes were as bad as some people were making out. I thought it was a competitive game. I just thought that York were more clinical. But yeah, some of the comments I saw, I didn't necessarily agree with. Yeah, I don't think Widnes were ever going to win the game. I thought York had another gear, but I thought generally it was a competitive game, certainly a lot more so than the previous one. I don't know how you saw it.
I think ultimately, I think fans' emotions straight after a loss especially, you know, it's raw, isn't it? I think there's context to it. Ultimately, we had 18 players to pick from. probably some of the players on the pitch as well probably wasn't 100% fit either. You've got a winger on the bench. I thought...
Yeah, you wouldn't... Hang on, sorry to interrupt you, Mike. You wouldn't have heard my absolute gem in commentary because, of course, you were at the game. Rhys Williams' 319th career appearance, club career appearance, and that was only the second time he'd been named on the bench.
I've already listened to your interview, James. So oh, there I you have go. Heard that one. So fair play to you for digging that out there.
Yeah, I'm proud of that one.
Somewhere.
But yeah, go on. Sorry. Rhys Williams on the bench.
No, which is obviously far from ideal, isn't it? I mean, I must say at this point, with Brett Bailey being the only fit player that we believe who didn't make the 17, seeing what we've seen before with some of the project signings, to say, you know, he's not really gone out on loan to a League One club. Then Matt Roberts was, you know, saying about, you know, teams in League One, you know, wingers finding it hard to loan them out and halfbacks. Well, you can't say that about middles, really. And he's not been found out on loan and he's not really getting a look in at Winter. So, say, a bit warning signs there for me now with that one. And
He did play for St. Helens Reserves, didn't he? He played for St. Helens Reserves a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but it's not really a proper loan, in my opinion, where he's, you know, really challenging himself. That's almost like kind of where he's come from. But anyway, moving on to the game, I just thought York looked more physical. I thought he was, you know, more dynamic, the forwards. I thought the halfbacks was more creative. And I thought the best team won. I think it was a good dig by our lads, like I say, given there was, you know, a winger on the bench, you know, 18 fit players to pick from, against a really strong York side. I think the two frustrations for me, really, it was a lot better performance than what we got when we last went there. It was a bit of a disaster and you're chasing the scoreboard and it's a knockout game. So then you start doing uncharacteristic things and the scoreboard runs away from you. I thought it was better. But for me, firstly, I think the forwards and the front row, and obviously we'll go on to Morgan signing later, but I think we've got the same type of props coming on after the props that are starting going off, where they all seem to be more like your starting props, and there's nobody coming on to raise the tempo, and there's nobody breaking through the line. And obviously when half breaks are made, then that's when your halfbacks and your back line can, you know, start picking up lines and picking out fatigued players to attack and ultimately create space. And we don't seem to be getting that. And then secondly, you know, the attack, I mean, it's been going on now for a number of weeks and we've played the same amount of games as Huntslet that we're playing on Sunday, and we've only scored, you know, 14 more points than them. I think that says it all. And I think that's where fans are ultimately getting frustrated, because it is an entertainment business as well, especially when you're traveling away from home every week. It is a dear cost. And, you know, like the kicking game, again, Deck Patton's out the team. I think we put the same kick under Joe Brown about 3, 4, 5 times. And I get that the coaching ploy is probably to take a big, you know, yardage carrier out of it at first tackle, but then you shoot yourself in the foot. I think we conceded 3 penalties in that half off the same kick a couple of tackles later. And before you know it, York are on the halfway line and we just don't seem to be able to build pressure and make teams fatigue. And ultimately, I think that's where fans are getting frustrated, where the attack's looking, it's fair to say, a little bit blunt. And we've obviously toyed around with the halfbacks. I understand, like we were saying last week, that the fullback situation, that doesn't help. We've had 6 or 7 now. But I still think we should be doing a bit more going forward.
Yeah, it's clearly a problem. I think clearly they're short of a strike player or two. You know, we've mentioned the fullback situation. Before, people seem to think that changing the halfbacks would
would create something. I don't think that it has. I would play. I mean, I know Depp Patton's injured. I would just play Jack Owens at standoff. It is my sort of position, but it almost feels like he's playing centre because there's not really any options at centre in some ways. I think I thought Joe Edge had a decent game, but I think he's a very one-handed carrier, isn't he, Joe Edge, of the ball, and I just think he offers more playing centre. It sounds like Fleming is the player that, at the moment, of the players that are available, it sounds like Fleming is the one that they want to have playing at fullback. But they're not quite there. But I suppose in many ways, the issue perhaps isn't who's out there and who's playing where. Whoever the combination is of those players that they've got, for whatever reason, it's not quite working out at the moment.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, ultimately, you know, as much as we can go on about the fullbacks, at the same time, we've got very experienced backs playing as well. You know, Ryan Ince and Mike Butt, absolutely fine. Even Rhys Williams in a finishing position. I know he's had his challenges under the high ball in a couple of games this season, but as a finisher and attacking, you know, his try-scoring ratio is there for everybody to see. You know, most of the time in the last couple of weeks, we've had Joe Edge in the centre. Fleming's been there. You know, Jack Owens has been there somewhere. And then obviously Tom Gilmore as well, who, let's have it right, if you went round and did a survey with most championship, even coaches and supporters, he waltzes into most teams in the championship, it's fair to say. So, like I say, that there is something missing, in my opinion. And, you know, I'm sure people are working hard to sort it out, and the players and the coaching staff are probably even more frustrated than the fans ultimately. But I think a lot of it comes down to us just not spending long enough in opponents' half, and that goes back to dominating the forward battle and not only putting your kicks in, but like I say, when you've got somebody trapped in their own 10-meter line, just needless silly penalties, because that's where you're going to take juice out of teams. And then when you've got the ball, there are going to be more natural gaps that open for these players to go into. It's almost as if teams are defending their own line against us quite fresh, and we're just not spending, you know, set after set there and having teams on the rack a bit.
I think there's a couple of examples, and to be fair, Jack Owens was one of the culprits. Just kicking early, it's almost like when they get, I don't know whether it's because they're not quite confident of getting through, but a couple of times they'll try that, you know, if they're 10 or 15 metres out the short or 20 metres out the short, kicking behind on tackle 3 or 4 rather than build the pressure. And I think they've done that a few too many times now, where it's obviously not working. I think they did it in the Warrington game towards the end in the second half, when it was like, right, try and build up for a drop goal. But I think that's partly because there's a lack of confidence of actually making the break. Naturally, I think the back rowers, to be fair to them, are doing basically 80, you know, Langtree and Lloyd are probably up there in terms of minutes played this season, because they're both doing 80 minutes every single week. I think Lloyd's been carrying an injury. You know, Langtree had a pretty serious injury last season. And so I just think beyond the middle, you've not got that. Yeah, everyone's got this work ethic and stuff. You've just not quite got that strike power at the moment, and it's hard to see how they can make any changes there.
That's it. And like I say, hopefully Morgan coming in, that can be one player who's a bit of an impact coming off the bench that's going to add something different. Because speaking about the props there, like I was saying before, that they're almost all like you in the mold of a starting front rower, and then you need somebody with a bit more action, you know, that's going to run onto the ball with a bit of pace and a bit of dynamite and shake things up a bit. And I think Danny Langtree, in fairness, I think in terms of the back row, if you remember early stages last year, you had Sam Wild and Rodri Lloyd, and he did come off the bench a couple of times, and I think that suited him because he's got it in him to, you know, knock a few about, certainly defensively, and create some problems in more shorter bursts. But like you say, with the two back rowers we've got, there's not nobody else really to pick there. And unfortunately, it's probably a bit similar in the sense with Fozard, you know, having to play more or less 80 minutes where they're having to do the same as well. And that obviously probably limits how much impact they can bring, because let's have it right, you know, I know they're not like old in terms of rugby league players, but they're both 30 plus, aren't they? So like I said, it'd be nice to have an option where potentially you could bring like a Danny Langtree off the bench, and that could bring a bit of a different dynamic to the game again.
Right, let's talk about this new signing then. What are we going with the pronunciation?
Go on, I'll let you go first, James. No, you've got the media duties.
Well, you said to me it's Morgan McWhirter.
I think you're right, mate. We'll go with.
My first thought was they missed a massive opportunity not getting the Morlaine McDonald's sponsoring him. I think they could have done some real good promos around that. People will have seen, well, if you listen to this podcast, you're likely to have already seen that the club's profile on him. They put a little clip of his highlights on. He's playing in France for Limoux Grizzlies at the moment. They're in the playoffs, so he's basically waiting for them to be knocked out of the playoffs before he comes over. Alan Coleman was very keen to say that he wanted to sign players for this season and next. He's got one of them. I don't know whether he's the same player that I was told about a few weeks ago, because I was told that there was another player coming in from France and it fell through at a late stage. I don't know whether it's the same. I presume it's a different signing that's being made. But I think it's interesting. I think I wrote something on the website this week where I think it's interesting because people, you know, when you're signing players from the same league or whatever, you know about them, but he's an unknown to us. You know, majority of people won't have seen him play. Majority of people probably wouldn't have even heard of him. But in some ways, it's that's what makes it an anticipating signing, and probably one that Widnes haven't had for quite a long time. I think I'm right in saying that they've not had an overseas player, with the exception of, I think, a dual reg. Well, Jake Mamo played on dual reg. Not had an overseas player or a non-British player actually play for Widnes since 2019. So it's an interesting one. Whether we might see one or two more Australians come in remains to be seen, and we live in hope, perhaps, of that happening. But good to see something get done, Mike.
100%, much needed. Of course, these signings can go both ways. Me and you aren't going to sit here and say how good he is, because ultimately we don't really know, apart from a highlights package, and of course what the club and Alan have said about him. It obviously, you know, that they think highly of him, and otherwise they wouldn't have signed him. Obviously, some people apprehensive because of our recent history with certain Australians only playing pre-season games and then heading off. So, yeah, it'd be really exciting, you know, to see him, and I hope he settles in it. Looking at his social media page, it looks like he's got a partner that's going to be coming over with him, so that always helps to settle in. He's not going to be, you know, just him coming over. I know, like I say, that will be a big thing for him to help him settle into the, like I say, the culture and the town of Widnes. But like in terms of him coming from the French league, I think that's again another good sign. He's obviously settled into Europe and quite likes it on this side of the world. And like, he put out a little short video as well, didn't he? And he seemed really enthusiastic in getting over in his highlights package. Like I say, just going off that, he's a good age, good size, and he looks like he's going to add something that we probably don't have in the squad at the moment. So let's hope he can hit the ground running. And it is the Featherstone game he makes his debut.
Yeah. Nobody has a bad highlights reel, Mike.
Well, yeah, true.
But I will say that. But yeah, I think it's one of them. It's a signing where, you know, these are the sorts of signings that happen where, yeah, okay, it can go one way and, it doesn't work out. But I think it's the sort of signing where a player could become a cult hero type character. Widnes have got a squad of hardworking players and, familiar players. And so adding maybe something a little bit different into the mix might be just what they need at this moment in time. One player who won't be playing is Ryan Lannan. So there was a bit of noise at the weekend about the status with Lannan. Alan Coleman sort of alluded to it in the interview. He's missed, what, 3 games? He's told he was ill, his child was ill, various things. It really came to a head this week where it transpired that he'd basically not been at training or playing in matches. Widnes have released him basically, and he's immediately pitched up at Oldham. Now, we've probably not got time to go into everything that I wrote about. I wrote a piece on widnesrugby.com if you want to check that out about the situation. Widnes clearly stuck between a rock and a hard place in terms of how they deal with the situation. They've made the decision to effectively release him. Didn't really say a great deal in the statement as to why. Basically just said he's not meeting the expectations of his contract. But he rocks up and joins Oldham, who will be competing with Widnes for a playoff spot straight away. I can see why fans get cheesed off when things like that. I'm not necessarily blaming the club, but it's just a situation that just irritates fans.
Absolutely. We've spoke about it before, mate. The contract situation, I think, at rugby league in general, certainly in the second tier, is an absolute shambles, and it gets worse year on year. You know, we had this last year with Kieran Dixon, Ant Walker, to name a couple, you know, and we've obviously had in pre-season players leaving that we've signed for this year as well. So I know there are all different circumstances attached, and I won't go off track focusing on this one. I feel for the club, because ultimately you can hold him to ransom and keep him here, but you'd have to keep paying him. And he's obviously ultimately not going to be offering you anything when clearly, you know, let's have it right. You know, he's obviously had his sights set heading elsewhere, whether there's a deal on the table for next year and that hasn't been announced yet and he's there to the end of this year to take that up, or whatever that situation looks like, that's where his interests have lay. And I think a right rotten trick, really. And ultimately, I know it's not the point, but you best say you are. The club's probably done the right thing. Get the wage off the wage book and hopefully try and bring someone else in. But it's a reoccurring theme, mate, and it's not just at Widnes, and it's certainly something that frustrates me as a fan, as it does, like you say, with a lot of people as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth noting that Lannan probably played the same trick last year to get out of Halifax to come to Widnes. So, yeah. You know, there's a little bit of, you know, Widnes to a point. It was slightly different. It was later on in the season, so Widnes probably would have had more permission to speak to him than what, you know, ultimately, whatever's happened, he's wound up at Oldham before the anti-tampering deadline even is. So, but for me, I just find the whole situation completely ludicrous that part-time rugby league players have got, well, for one, they've got agents. I mean, all the clubs are within a stone's throw of each other anyway. I find it ridiculous that they have agents. I think it's
What I'd say, sorry, mate, just before you continue, there should be something in place by the RFL or whoever, somebody much more cleverer than me, that basically, ultimately, if things like this happen, a fine's put in place at least player or something imposed that the player's coming from.
The problem is the RFL can't even do basic things at the moment. Like I spoke to the RFL today trying to get clarification on what's happening with the Super 8s at the end of the season between Championship and League One. And the response I got was basically that even they don't know exactly what's going on.
Oh, happy days.
You know, and you're like, you know, that's the situation. But for me, there's absolutely no reason whatsoever why players should be allowed to speak to clubs from May the 1st. And there should be no reason whatsoever that clubs have to say they're re-engaging a player before May the 1st. If you sign a player on a one-year deal, he comes in for pre-season in November, you pay him for 3 months before he even plays a game, and then he's played a couple of games and his agent's knocking on your door saying, are you going to offer me a deal for next season? It's like, it's absolutely ridiculous. They could get to the end of the season. They could get to September. It used to be September the 1st. They could get to September the 1st when there's a couple of games left and it's like, right, if you've not engaged me by September the 1st, I can talk to other clubs. I don't have any issues with that. I just do not know what the justification is, because people might say, oh, well, the players need security. And I'm like, well, it's a part-time league. The majority of players will have other jobs. They're not relying on rugby as their income, and nor should they be, really, because look, these are part-time clubs. Even if you said you can't speak to clubs until the end of the season, you would still, if player X finished the season at Widnes, he'd get a deal somewhere else for next season, because there's not a huge player pool of players. Get a deal somewhere else. And that's what happens in other sports. Football, I mention football a lot. Obviously, I do a lot of work in football. The semi-professional players, the season finished, you know, they're contracted to the end of April, the season's finished, they'll now be speaking to clubs about next season, whether that be the current club or the new club. They'll be negotiating the deal, they'll sign a deal, and from July the 1st, the contract's with whoever the new club is, or it might be the existing one. Even in full-time sports, I've worked in ice hockey, I've worked in basketball, even full-time players in them sports, it'd get to this time of the year and they've not got a deal sorted for next season, because they know that that's the marketplace. You're testing the market to find a different club, or clubs are trying to find different players. The difference with basketball, ice hockey, and football is the player pool is so vast that you've got to, you know, it shouldn't be like that in rugby league, because ultimately there's barely any players to go around as it is.
Yeah,
and that's where I just find it.
And ultimately, mate, something does need sorting, because the fans that rugby league actually has, and certainly in the championship, most clubs don't have many of them, you know, but it's putting people off now, like your loyal supporters, where they're getting to the point now where, you know, I've seen it not just at Widnes, but other clubs, people saying, oh, sod this, you know, because you're not feeling like a club, you know, you're losing a player after, you know, 6 months of being there and he's there for 18 months. All that gets brought into play, and before you know it, a club feel and, you know, your players being familiar has gone. And, like, just a little bit further without going off topic again, I was reading an article on Matt Shaws today, and he mentioned in a recent rugby league meeting where it's been discussed one-week loans, and he reckons that's going to be pushed through. I said this on a podcast last year that we'd get to that point. I mean, 2 week loans, ridiculous. 1 week loans, ridiculous. Dual registration, ridiculous. The contract situation for permanent signings, ridiculous. And they expect to keep fans engaged.
Well, yeah, and they expect fans to still pay the £24 to come in and watch. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's the 2025 squad. You've paid your season ticket for 2025 to watch the 2025 squad. Couldn't care less what's happening in 2026 at the moment. Couldn't care less, because it's about this season. And, you know, I'd love to go in somewhere and shake people and say, can you not see what's happening here? Because they just seem to be completely oblivious to what, you know, what fans want to see. I did a little piece on the Warrington dual reg situation this week where I witness have only used, to be honest, I was a bit surprised when I actually dug in it. Witness have actually only had 8 dual reg this season. 3 of them were Max Wood. 3 of them were the Oldham game. And you're just like, well, it's almost a complete waste of time. Even doing that, because you're not getting players when you need them. No. We'll wait and see who Warrington send for the Hunslet game. You know, Warrington last week, they had Ben Hartill, Lucas Green and Nolan Tapia played for Warrington Reserves against St. Helens Reserves. I think Warrington Reserves won 46-12, something like that. And someone I knew who went said it was a complete and utter waste of time. St. Helens had Ben Davis and Jake Burns playing for them, the reserves. They're two players who've been at Widnes in the past. And the big problem is you've got these Super League teams are sat on so many players just so they can fulfil relatively meaningless reserve fixtures that's eating away at the player pool that would otherwise be playing, you know, be available for Widnes. And it's just absolutely absurd, the whole thing. And I don't know where they expect it to go, to be perfectly honest, because
it all comes down to self-interest. That's what it is. It really does. Like, you know, the Warrington situation last week, without going back over old territory, you know, the reason why they're playing in them reserves is because someone's nose was pushed out a joint. Now, that's not benefiting them players who were turning up on that playing field. We all know that. You know, and you need to sit around it in terms of the loan market. And even, like, say, the 1 week loans get it passed and 2 week loans. I hate 2 week loans. But yeah, that's not benefiting any player whatsoever. But the 1 week loan rule looks like it's going to be passed. And that's to benefit the Super League clubs. Because if a player plays well, say, for Hunslet, 1 week, does really well, they want to play the player playing at a high level. He'll go there. Or equally, you know, they're covering their own backs because, you know, at basically no cost, they can pull the player back into as they please immediately. And like with these young players coming through now, I really feel sorry for them. It's like Dan Okoro last year and Lucas Green. They had about 4 or 5 clubs.
Well, someone mentioned Lucas Green to me on Twitter this week because ultimately, you know, we had 4 or 5 clubs probably last season, but he had a bit of a run at Widnes, didn't he, towards the end where he played, I don't know, 8 or 9 games. Yeah. I don't actually think he's a bit small for a forward. Or he's a bit small for the position that he's playing, but I thought he did all right. This season, he's out on loan at Keighley. So he's gone down a level where he was playing relatively regularly for Widnes last season. He's gone down a level to Keighley, and then obviously now he's being pulled back. He was playing for the reserves, whatever. And even treating these young players, it doesn't really make sense. It's not as if they're building them up towards anything. You know, the Bardsley Roe thing we've talked about this season as well. You know, he gets sent to London and you're like, well, he would have played every week for Widnes. It'd be interesting to see what we haven't mentioned Josh Hodson, who Widnes signed last week. He's a decent championship centre. Whether we'll see him beyond the 2 weeks remains to be seen. I think I've mentioned it before where I just think you look at these clubs now, we've got 150 years of history. And you're now basically just parachuting players in who'll play one game for a club that years ago it meant something to actually play for the club. Do you know what I mean? Getting an appearance for Widnes was actually something people would, whereas now you're just dishing it out to anyone who a Super League club wants to send you. You know, Joe Bullock played against Widnes for Barrow. He's got one Widnes appearance under his name because at some point some Super League club was desperate to get him game time and he got sent to Widnes. And you're just like, is this really what it's about?
No, it's not. It's not what I want to see, mate. I'll be, look, like me and a lot of people who are listening and yourself, James, will go regardless. But it's sad to watch and people are losing interest with it, you know, quickly. And it seems to be getting worse year on year. And hopefully, and I say, I don't know why I'm wasting my breath with this, but I'll say it anyway. Hopefully with the reshake at the RFL that somebody can, you know, in the years to come, grab hold of it and put something in place and get people around the table where, you know, things can work for both. But it's certainly a broken system. It really is.
Yeah, well, if anyone relevant's listening, I am available and I'm happy to revolutionise everything. We'll move on. A bit of positive news this week, Mike, as the club have issued an injury update. There was some fears over Matty Fozard's hand. Not sure whether it was right or left, but there was some worry about that. But it would appear that it's not as bad as first thought. Certainly, I noticed during the game that he seemed to have almost withdrawn himself on a few occasions, and it, the only explanation I could have had for that was that he must have been suffering. Obviously, eventually he came off. Jordan Johnston likely to be back this week. Matt Fleming, I think, in contention for this week. Even the Max Roberts one, not as bad as they thought. Obviously, Liam Kirk was ill at the weekend. So, and then Lewis Hall's not as far, you know, not too far away. So positives that although Widnes have got a small squad, to be able to have all of your small squad available at some point in the not too distant future will certainly be a positive.
Absolutely, and them players, you know, listed all make your team better. You know, and it gives Alan much needed options. Ultimately, you know, depending what team you play, because you know he's not really had that in a few weeks. You know, you've got to more or less play the same team week in, week out. Whereas, obviously, you know, when you're playing different opposition every week, certainly at a, you know, in such a competitive league as the Championship, you know, making tweaks and changes to adapt to a game is, you know, it's part and parcel of it. And Alan hasn't had the luxury to do that, so that'll definitely come in handy. And yeah, I think from a supporter's perspective, I think the one that kind of gets your mouth watering is the potential of, you know, Jordan Johnston and Matty Fozard coming together, whether this week maybe Matty might miss out and it'll be, you know, next week where we see the pair of them. But I think when that, you know, that concern of Matty breaking his hand came about, I think everybody in the fan base, and I'm sure yourself, James, thought you can't write this. You know, you've got Jordan Johnston coming in and you're going to have Matty Fozard dropping out for the foreseeable. But that combination is going to massively lift us, I think, in the coming weeks.
Yeah, it's almost similar to the other year. I can't remember which year. But the first year Tom Gilmore came back where neither him and Craven were ever fit at the same time. They had I think Craven got injured in the first game, and then by the time he'd come back, Gilmore got injured or vice versa. But yeah, that was a positive. Other news, the Widnes Learning Disability Rugby League team is going to be playing at the Challenge Cup semi-final between Lee and Warrington at St. Helens. So usually they have the LDRL sides playing at Magic Weekend, but because they've got that much interest these days, they've got some clubs are going to play at Magic Weekend and some clubs are going to be playing at St. Helens, which, of course, far less glamorous. Widnes will be up against they're playing York, Barrow, Bradford, Featherstone, Halifax, Lee and St. Helens. So if you're at the Cup semi-final, why would you be? Because Widnes are playing Featherstone, but in case you are, you'll get to see Widnes playing in that. I wanted to go into this a bit more, but we might mention it when we've got a quieter week. This week I've launched Widnes Rugby Plus, which is a new optional subscription service to help support the podcast and the widnesrugby.com website and the forum. You might have seen we've removed all the ads from the forum just to make it a bit more of a nicer experience. It's still people we get, still get plenty of people commenting on there. We get plenty of people on the Facebook page as well. But the idea is to try and help us cover costs of running the podcast and well, if we can manage to do that, then perhaps create some additional time for myself and for Mike to generate some more content and ask the questions and get the information that you want to get about Widnes in the absence of any real media coverage from elsewhere or indeed local newspaper coverage. So we'll go into it a bit more next week. But if you go on widnesrugby.com, you'll find in the sidebar, there's the information on Widnes Rugby Plus. You can make a one-off donation or you can pay a fiver a month or a tenner a month. There's a few benefits to them. If any businesses are listening, we've got a £50 per month offer, which gets you an advert in the podcast. It gets you an advert on the side of the website. I don't know if any people have spotted this yet, Mike, because no one's mentioned it to me. when I was mucking around setting up to this system, there was a request section, and I actually put in that you could be in a pod, you can become a guest on a podcast for £25. So I've chucked that. If you're a subscriber, you can pay an extra £25 and be on a podcast, which means I'm thinking I might invoice you now for the previous 100 episodes or whatever it's been.
You've been making a fair bit of cash there now, wouldn't you?
So thank you to the people who've signed up to that so far. Yeah, obviously it takes time putting the podcast together. It costs a bit of money to host it and run it, et cetera, as well. Same with the website. So first target is to at least try and recoup some of the hosting and the hosting costs that it takes. But, you know, the idea is we want to hopefully try and develop things and keep doing more. Speaking of more, Mike, I believe people have been into you. They want us to do some more Q&A stuff. We're always keen to do Q&A. Maybe we do it once. I mean, we could do it in every episode if we get questions, I suppose. Have you got any questions? I know you've been scouting around.
Yeah, we will do a proper one probably more next week, where I will put something out to reach out to people and they can send them in. The original post where the question was kind of asked, somebody sent a question in, and it was, bear with me a moment. Want to get the wording right. What is your opinion on Alan Coleman this season? Do you think he still has what it takes to get us to where we need to be? I thought the question, to be fair, was quite straight to the point. And after a couple of losses, obviously I have seen quite a few comments post-match, James. So do you want to go first, or do you want me to?
I haven't given this any thought other than you asking then. I think Widnes have changed coach far too much in the last 10 years. I think changing the coach will make a massive difference at the moment. No. Do I think Alan Coleman deserves more time? Of course he does. You know, he got Widnes to the playoffs, which no other coach has done. So yeah, I don't, changing the coach for me, it wouldn't even be close to my agenda at the moment, to be perfectly honest. Because I just think if you look at how the last few years have gone, you know, I wouldn't have got rid of Dennis Betts. You know, when Widnes decided to get rid of Dennis Betts and brought the Joker in from Leeds, wherever he's from, it's like, it was an absolute catastrophe. And then, of course, since relegation from Super League, changed coach. This was the first year Widnes have started with the same coach that they'd started the previous year since Dennis Betts, basically. And so I think Widnes just need a bit of continuity in that. I think, you know, people were giving Alan Coleman credit for building a bit more of a rapport with the fans. That's not necessarily his job, in my opinion, but last season was certainly the best season that Widnes have had for a while, and I think he deserves time to keep that going. Like, they're not playing particularly well at the moment, but they're still very much in the playoff reckoning. Widnes should be making the playoffs in Championship, in my opinion, given the size of the club and the fan base, etc. If at the end of the season Widnes don't make the playoffs, then I think next season you'd have to say there'll be a little bit of pressure on him to put that right. But I think the way it's gone, I think he gets a couple of shots, in my opinion.
Yeah, echoing what you said about the playoffs, since being relegated from Super League, we haven't made the playoffs. So straight away there, box ticked. For me, Alan is right now sat here 110% the right man for me and the head coach I'd want in charge of Widnes. I think how he engages with the fans, he does a hell of a lot behind the scenes as well. And also what people sometimes don't take into consideration, and look, I'm not using this as an excuse by any means, but there's probably about six teams who spend more than Widnes in the league. And you look where we are in the league, And it is, in terms of expenditure, that's about right. Now, by no means am I saying that's what we should accept. You've got to aim higher, and the objective definitely is to be knocking on the door of the top four, in my opinion. But going into this game against Huntslet, it's an important game. For me, we've got to put a marker down at some point. And I'm not saying beating Huntslet is the marker, but there's a manner of performance you need to put in and go, right, we're turning a corner now and let's kick on. This championship it's helter-skelter, it's competitive, it's manic, and you're going to have down weeks, especially when you're low on troops. And, you know, we're coming off a bit of a downward period. Now, if we beat Huntslet on Sunday and then we go into that Featherstone game and we manage to beat them, which is more than possible. I'm not going to say, not saying we're going to do it, but it's more than possible to win two out of two. The league table looks completely different, and in that time scale, other sides will have lost. So that's how quick things can turn, and that, I suppose, that sport, isn't it? A couple of losses and people question things. I think personally for me, I think the attack needs addressing, because it's not just a performance thing, it's entertainment for fans coming to games and what they want to watch and see. But again, I suppose that's a process, isn't it? And we are actively in the transfer market, and we are reacting now from, you know, players departing. And, you know, it's been a mad couple of weeks, hasn't it? I think the dust just needs to settle and then see what's what in about 6 weeks' time.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that. My understanding is there's at least three clubs who are spending more than double what Widnes spend in Championship this season. So, and listen, it's not all about money, but of course life's a lot easier when you've got it. At the same time, you know, in many ways, the challenges that Widnes face are probably above Alan Coleman in many ways. It's how do Widnes generate more income? How do they maintain a top six? But, you know, how do Widnes really establish themselves as one of the top semi-pro clubs in rugby league? Because that's ultimately where the realistic aim is. As much as people over 40 probably won't like that. Ultimately, Widnes is, in my opinion, at this moment, in the current climate, the best Widnes can hope for is to be the top part-time club. And they should be aiming to get to that. And at the moment, they've got the core fan base as a platform. The concern is that if it keeps sort of dwindling away over the next 5 or 10 years, you know, where do you end up going? Before we move on, I just want to mention, you'll see criticism. I'd seen some criticism on Facebook, and it does make me laugh. I saw somebody openly say that they went to their first game for more than 2 years and they were shocked at how bad it was. And then
I seen this comment. And, sorry, go on, mate.
I seen the same person comment on the RFL's post of the championship results, saying something along the lines of, Widnes have got a real chance of going down this season. And I'm just like, you've been one game in 2 years, you know, how are you supporting the club? Doesn't look to me like you are a great deal. You don't really know a great deal of what's going on because you've only been to one game in 2 years. And then thirdly, who needs enemies when you've got your own fans, supposedly, writing on the RFL post saying Widnes, who are very much, you know, they're probably as mid-table as you could possibly be at the moment, that Widnes are going down. And I was like, and then I've seen people said they've still got to play Featherstone home and away. And I was like, Featherstone have won two games all season. And that stuff like that baffles me, to be perfectly honest. But
look, yeah, there's a team down there that's got a fighting mentality. And even like, say, the squad and Alan himself, he's been, the last couple of weeks, he's been fighting with one hand behind his back. And ultimately, you know, the way I see things is, you know, with the resources and the squad we've got and players available who out there that you could get on the same wage as Alan will be on that would be doing a better job. And I just don't see anybody at all. As for commenting of going out how bad it was, I mean, crikey, I mean, that Barrow game, which you can pick out was probably the worst one this season, that's probably not even in the top 10 poor witness performances I've seen in probably the last 7-8 years. So
yeah. I mean, well, yeah, flipping heck, if that was as bad as it had got, then I'd have been quite happy. I think it's funny actually you mentioned about the money. There's a conspiracy theory going around that that Coleman's had the 22 grand Vips money rather than it going on the players. I enjoyed that conspiracy this week. I haven't actually asked Alan about it, but I might see if he wants to take me out for tea at the weekend. But yeah, that's
if he had something, he could take us both out, mate.
Yeah. I think that's they're just things that come out, and I just think people got to take a step back and think, how realistic is that? Like, do people genuinely think a part time rugby league coach is, you know, is taking, you know, yeah, there's just some things like that that,
you don't know whether to smile or shake your head or what, do you, what, really?
What's funny though, Mike, is I'll get people who say to me, oh, you won't say anything against the club, oh, you won't do this, you know, you're up somebody's backside, whatever. And then on the flip, but then the club, there'll be people at the club who think, all I do is talk the club down. And it's like, and that's what I get, both ends of the scale. And I'm just like, you know, I just sort of say things as I see them. I don't particularly have a loyalty either way. I you know, witness is my team, and that's it. I'll call out bad things. I'll comment about the good things. I hold me out on the fact that I'm there every week, although I'm not there this week. Whether it's good or bad, so I'd like to think that I can get away with, you know, if I'm going to criticise, I can get away with it, because if it's good the following week, I'll say that it's good the following week. But when people just pop up and say, oh, this is rubbish, when they only pop up once every 2 years, I just think that's it's not really what you need. One of the more sensible queries that I've had this week was somebody asking me what's happened with Steve Tyra. Now, yeah, he's not disappeared. He's perfectly safe as far as I'm aware. This was something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and I did actually ask the club about this a couple of weeks ago, because I'd noticed Steve Tyra in his civvies at one of the games, obviously sat in the posh seats, which is adjacent to the press box, because the press box seats definitely aren't posh. Now, I think you could probably credit Steve Tyra with the 2 points that were won in Toulouse. If you haven't seen the highlights of that game, maybe check them out. So I did ask the question, and I haven't actually, it'd be nice, I might try and get Steve Tyra on to a podcast actually to talk about it. But I asked the question, and I was told that because please forgive me if you're listening, but I can't remember whether it was his son or his daughter, obviously playing rugby now, or, you know, playing rugby to a decent level, and he wasn't able to commit to every home and away first team game. And Steve Tyra, being the sort of, you know, person he is, the way he played the game, he didn't want to be one of them people who just turned up for, you know, 70% of the matches. He's very much, you know, an all in or not. So he's effectively stepped away from the first team, which of course is, you know, it is bad news, because I remember tweeting when he was playing for Widnes, to think if you had 13 Steve Tyras playing, you probably wouldn't do too badly. Do you know what I mean? He was a sort of player that you wouldn't miss many goal kicks, if nothing else. But the positive is that he is going to be involved in the club's pathway. So I think he's taking on the under-18s team. So he's going to be looking after the futures pathway that, of course, Roger Harrison and other people at the club are trying to develop. So Widnes are bringing through their own players. So both positives and negatives there, but hopefully that answers a few questions from people and stops a few conspiracy theories, because I have seen a few more conspiracy theories. We might have to do a podcast episode on conspiracy theories one week. We'll talk about the moon landings. But yeah, so there you go, Mike.
Yeah, I think just a quick one on Steve. He is the type of person that you just want at your club, and I can't speak any more highly of him. Everybody sees it, the passion he's got, how much he loves the club and the game, how much he gives both to Widnes and the Halifax shirt, and just wants to apply himself in the best way he can, and just a proper leader and somebody who you want around your club. And of course, family comes first, but brilliant that he's, you know, got a part in the development pathway, because for me, thinking back to when I was playing junior rugby, I don't think there's anybody who he kind of fits the bill of who you'd want to be coaching you. Somebody of that age to look up to, the right values, how to play the game, how to approach the game, obviously his skill set as well. Probably, you know, pound for pound, one of the best championship players that there's been at a part-time level. So brilliant news is staying involved with that. And, you know, you never know, in time, circumstances might change where he takes on a different role. Who knows?
Yeah, I'd like to think that if they ever made me water boy, that I would be enthusiastic enough to make a referee change his decision on a try in the corner. I'd love to think that would be me.
Well, if you can do a job like Steve did in France, I mean, yeah, I'd give you the job straight away. Cause yeah, like I said, he nearly took the flag off the linesman, didn't he?
Yeah, I think that was excellent. So hopefully that answered the question. Right, we're rabbiting on. We're at the end. Predictions.
Here we go.
I can't remember what. Well, we'll go through last week's quickly. Who played last week? But well, I think they largely went. Barrow beat Doncaster. They were flirting with not beating them at one point, but Barrow beat Doncaster 24-19. Halifax beat London 40-12. York, of course, beat Widnes. So we were both 3-3 on the Sunday. Toulouse beat Featherstone, which is bad news for you, Mike, because you predicted Featherstone.
Yeah.
Sheffield beat Batley, and Bradford beat Oldham pretty comfortably. Bradford won 42-12 against Oldham, which, if I was being really negative, Mike, I would say that may be puts a little bit of a downer on the Widnes' result against Oldham. Does that mean I've got a full house there?
I think you have, haven't you?
Yeah, 6 out of 6. So that puts me 34 against your 33. So I've got my nose in front.
What I would say about the Oldham game is I believe 3 or 4 players dropped out the day before the game. I think Danny Craven played on the wing in that game. So that kind of shows what team. Well,
it's a funny one, because I think they were down when I spoke to, when Oldham were at Widnes, they were down to their last 18 players and they had a squad of 31 to begin with. So I think, as much as people go on about Widnes having a small squad, I think even if you have a big squad, you're still susceptible. You know, ultimately, if one team's got 5 injuries and one team's got 10,
yeah,
if you've got a big squad, you can cope with 5. But if you've got a big squad, 10's going to hit you as well, just the same. And I mean, it's very unlikely that, you know, even with a small squad, you'll get 10. But anyway, this weekend's games, we'll do these quick, Mike. London York is Saturday.
York for me. Yeah, table doesn't lie. I think York are getting stronger despite the hiccup at Featherstone. So, yeah, York for me.
Now, this one's an interesting one. Toulouse against Halifax.
It's in France. I'm going to bet against Toulouse this week. I can't make the same mistake again twice, certainly in the backyard, so I'm going to lose at home.
All right, Sunday, Batley against Barrow. Barrow going really well. I think they're second in the league. I think they've only lost 2. I think they've won 6. They're at Batley this weekend.
Yeah, the team week on week where you think maybe the run's going to come to an end, and it's just not, is it? So I'm going to go, considering Huntslet beat Batley on the slope, the way Barrow seems to have been playing, albeit I haven't seen too much of their action, you know, the results are there to see. Obviously, it was convincing against us, so I'm going for Barrow.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm tempted to go Batley because of the hill. I'm going to go Barrow, but I've got a feeling that next week I'm going to be kicking myself for not going with Batley. But anyway,
is this your Doncaster and Toulouse moment? Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Bradford, Sheffield.
Bradford, and I know Sheffield put on a right show against Batley, didn't they? Friday, but I think Bradford was also convincing, and they've got, like, say, some hell of some squad depth and players to pick from. So go for Bradford.
I noticed they tweeted this week or Facebooked, whatever, that they'd had 2.8 million engagements or something on social media this season, which is what everybody cares about. Doncaster, this is another tough one. Doncaster against Oldham. Now, Doncaster have had some very good results at home. They beat Toulouse. Who else did they beat? They beat Sheffield recently. They probably could have beat Widnes, to be perfectly honest. And Oldham are struggling.
I wish we was picking this if the squads had been announced, because depending how many Oldham have got back, it could be a very different game. Very
easy game.
Well, yeah, that's one person they will have, unless he's sick. But I will pick Doncaster and hope they can deliver something like they did against Toulouse.
Yeah, I'm going to go Doncaster as well. Although, I must admit, I think we talked about it the other week, I'm definitely still suspicious about one of them Doncaster tries against Toulouse, based on the photographic evidence that Doncaster themselves shared. And then Huntslet Widnes.
This is the week we're going to put a bit of a marker down and we're going to score some points. Although, I believe Huntslet have, you know, got a good few bodies back, so, and they'll be smelling blood, of course, but I'm going to go Widnes. I've got to be confident. And
I'm going to go Widnes as well, but I think Huntslet will go into the game with a lot of confidence based on how the previous game went earlier on in the season. Of course, they've not got Noah Booth now, who was really good when Widnes played there. And to be honest, because I'm not there Sunday, it's very likely that Widnes will put on a good performance when I'm not there. I based on my lifelong history, the odd games I do miss, I tend to miss out. So I need to figure out how I can watch the game. There must be a way. I'm on Magic Weekend duty this weekend, unfortunately, so I'll be twiddling my thumbs until 5:15 when Wigan play Warrington. So hopefully I can, I'll listen it to it on the radio if at worst, but yeah, so plenty to ponder after this episode, Mike, and I hope everyone's enjoyed listening. Do reach out on the Widnes Rugby League fans Facebook page, widnesrugby.com as well, and if you do sign up to Widnes Rugby Plus, you can direct message us directly, which you can do anyway, but it's a bit more, I don't know. There's some good features on there, still getting to the bottom of it. But yeah, we're hoping, you might have noticed this, Mike, we've not really talked about this. I did mention that we might have a live podcast at some point.
Yeah, it's been bubbling in the background, hasn't it? We have been meaning to plan it in, and we are going to get our act together, aren't we, and try and get more things like that happening.
Yeah,
more articles posted as well, which I'm sure people have seen, but more have been coming out the last week or so.
Yeah, if anyone wants to host us for a live podcast, it'll just be us two and our dads, basically. it'd be good to do stuff like that, and obviously, see how it develops over time. But Thanks for listening, as always. Please do leave your comments and your reviews on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to the podcast. We're edging ever closer to the home studio being finished as well, which means we might actually start releasing them as videos, which will be, people won't be able to contain their excitement when we get to that point.
Won't be sick of listening to us. They'll be sick of seeing us, James, as well.
So, yeah, thanks everyone, as usual, and we'll see you next week. We'll